Hey, what's up, Black and Jew listeners? It is the Black and Jew podcast, episode 34.
Yep, episode 34. 34 going on strong.
Exactly. 34. We'll be at 35 soon. Then
30,
bam, 40.
6 years away from a midlife crisis.
Yes, 6 years away from one. What do we do? We're going to podcast from a Ferrari.
Yep.
That's right.
No, we can't afford a Ferrari. A used Porsche.
Yes.
Hey, now, let's not get overly ambitious.
But it's looking good. Looking good. 34.
I'm happy that we figured out we can do it over Skype.
Yes. That was a very successful episode.
Let us know, listeners. Good. Our episode 33, we did that over Skype. Let us know what you think of the sound quality.
Black and Jew podcast, episode 33, was the most shit podcast I've ever heard.
Worst episode ever.
Worst episode ever.
Hopefully this one will be better.
Yeah. Sorry. Comic book guy lookalike number 63. We take your YouTube comments very seriously. So, good weekend, right?
Yeah, great weekend.
Great weekend of shows. I got a show today, like when this comes out.
At that crepe place or whatever?
Yes, at the crepe place. The crepe place in Hollywood.
I saw that.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I get 10 minutes. Going to be with Rob Belliott, CJ Staples, Greg Trayvon, and Trey, is it, what is it, Trey? It's not Trayvon, is it?
I have no idea. I have no
Tavon.
Idea.
Tavon.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Tavon. Greg.
You should probably know before you promote the show who the names of the people on the show are,
Reggie. I should probably know because then I'll like make
worst promoter ever.
Black and Jew Podcast 34 had the worst promotion I've ever heard of any Black and Jew podcast
college,
episode.
I had a girl in my comparative religion class that she... She sounded like, what's it called? She sounded like the comic book guy.
She sounded like comic book guy?
Yeah, she sounded like comic book guy. Like, she literally talked like this. She would be like, I think that the problem with Christian theology is that it doesn't make much sense if you think about it in a philosophical state. Like, that's how she talked. I remember one day she was, like, I was leaving class and she, like, started talking with me. And she would tell me about how her boyfriend and her brewed mead in her basement.
What?
She's like, yes, we brewed mead in our house, in our basement, me and my boyfriend. Yeah.
Wasn't there an episode of The Simpsons where there was a comic book girl? I bet there was. If they
really?
Haven't,
I don't know. Wouldn't that compromise comic book guy? Wouldn't he be too happy if he had a girl?
That's probably what... Comic book girl was probably taken from him or in some way, you know, in some metaphor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So he went back to being sad. Yeah. Miss Krabappel. I messed it up. But I used to have, in my linguistics class back in UMass,
mm-hmm.
I had a guy that literally, he spoke like, hey, I think the ovular fricatives, like that's how he spoke. And every time he'd raise his hand, people would tense because of his... really weird, really deep voice. And one time he didn't raise his hand and, you know, gave people a chance, and he just spoke and the professor was startled, like
like he didn't raise his hand, you're saying?
Yeah, he didn't raise his hand, he just spoke like, oh, I think that, like, that's how he spoke, and he startled the professor. So I also had a weird voiced person,
you know. I was unfortunately that guy that didn't do all the reading and liked to talk a lot in class.
You are the worst type of person.
Yep, probably the worst.
Oh my gosh.
Yep, and I was really condescending about it too.
I had a...
Not really.
I had a guy in my botany class back at UMass that was really open about weed, and he'd always stumble on his questions because he wanted to ask in the context of like weed.
Yeah.
But... he didn't, you know, he couldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So he'd always take long trying to say things and trying to, like, you know, he'd fumble his words a lot.
Yeah.
And we all knew what he was getting at. Like,
he's like, so if I was growing some tomatoes.
Exactly.
Would the feds maybe be not okay with it because of the heat signatures from the heat lamps?
So... We both had a really good weekend.
That was, I think, one of the most annoying things about smoking weed is smoking weed with people, and they would only talk about weed.
Yeah, when you smoke weed and then that becomes like your main driving point as a person. Like, I know a lot about weed, and I'm really good with weed.
It's like, maybe you should, if you concentrate on something, you know, more productive, maybe that'd be better. Yeah, exactly. You know, even more productive than that, you know? Like, all the time that people put into the weed knowledge, it's like, if you learned about some, like, a useful skill, like a trade, that'd probably be better. You know, like, instead of focusing all your knowledge on your leisure time activity.
Yeah. No, I used to have a friend who would who'd constantly always tell me about, like, oh, this new strain is called this crazy name.
Yeah.
This one's good for that. And I'm like, that's cool and all, but, you know, what do I do with this? Like, where do I smoke? Do you have all these fancy things you're telling me about?
Yeah, in an illegal market, you don't have that kind of choice either.
Yeah.
So it's like, you just have to pretend like the drug dealer just pretends like, oh, this is
a indica. It's good for sleeping. There, like, you go.
But yeah, sure. Here, it's purple. Okay, whatever. I don't really give a shit.
Just, do you want it or not? Just get out, get in, get out. What are you?
There's no quality control, and that's the real problem with the elite. That's the real drugs.
You know, you don't know if your drug dealer's spraying it with Raid.
Yeah.
Right, and then it's like, yeah, it's purple, isn't it? Come on.
It's supposed to glow like that? Yeah, no, totally.
It's be cool,
supposed,
right,
to hurt my lungs that much?
That's because you're a bitch.
Am I in the trenches in World War I? Am I inhaling mustard gas? No, but that would be very annoying that people would be like, you know, you smoke it and then they're just like, is it going to be legal? Like, I feel like the legislation's going. It's like, holy shit. I do not fucking care. Shut up.
I am. Okay, look. I mean, with my recent situation with my brother, I've really had to analyze my own attitudes about, like, marijuana and all that stuff. And you know what? I'm all for legalization because it's a much better process. And it's been proven before, prohibition does not work.
Doesn't work, no.
Especially, like, you know, with something like this, like marijuana. Yeah. You know, the least consequential of all the drugs, you know? And, but, you know, also, who cares? Like, when you, Where was I getting at? Like, I don't care about your legalization conversation.
Yeah.
I don't care about how it helps you with headaches. I don't care what one strain does over the other.
Yeah.
Sure, I've heard amazing things about it, about weed curing seizures, but, like, you know, which is very amazing. That's probably not the best example. But still, like, I do not care.
Or helps with your back pain or whatever.
Yeah, I don't care.
But why can't we let's be honest here. You don't want to legalize it for medical reasons. You want to legalize it for recreational reasons, you know? And it's ridiculous because, like, yeah, man, like I was watching some documentary and there was some guy making, like, these weed candies or something like that. And he's like, and then we put the medicine in the candies, and he was like all serious about it. He's like, this is your medicine. And, like, he shows the package. It's like Billy's Fun Pops to outer space or some shit like that. It's like, come on, dude. Is it medicine? Like, it really, I don't know of any, I don't think my Vicodin is called, like, you know, Relax, pop some relaxing candy. Like, come on, dude.
Not called Loopy Rocks.
Yeah, Loopy Rocks.
Loopy Rocks.
Loopy Rocks, made by Pfizer.
Got back pains, get Loopy Rocks.
Because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't work. And I think it's a non-issue about, like, whether weed, you shouldn't smoke weed or not. It's like, well, what is prohibition doing? Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Just picked a great episode for my girlfriend's mom to subscribe to the podcast. I just subscribed her yesterday. We've had conversations about this before, but
she's now hearing our conversation right now.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, not now because, you know, I have to. It's not live, but.
No, but yeah, I agree with it. It's like, it should be legalized.
Yeah.
One, because we really need to get over this stigma about it.
Yeah.
And I recently learned about myself that I have a stigma about it.
Yeah.
You know? And, like,
everybody does to an extent, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it should just be legalized because what's happening to people, just in general, like, you know, like, kids being, like, put in jail for, like, an eighth, you know? Like,
yeah.
For shit amounts.
Yeah.
And then you're ruining their whole lives, like, from the get-go.
You're ruining someone's life for, like, doing something so innocuous.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like, what's the point? And, oh, look, now we're having that conversation that I would hate.
But still, like,
yeah.
But the main thing here is that if you're a weed guy, no one likes you. No.
If you're a weed guy that always sucks. No, other weed guys like you.
Oh, other weed guys like, isn't it right? Aren't you right, bro? We should legalize it, bro.
But the whole thing is, too, is like, and then another thing that sometimes the pro-marijuana advocates won't recognize is, like, smoking a lot of weed is not good.
Oh, yeah. No,
you know, it's like, it's not completely without downsides, you know? Like,
no, like...
Like, people I know that smoke... There's... I know very few people that smoke a lot of weed and are very productive people. I know very few. I know a lot of people that smoke weed and are productive people, right? Like, and I don't want to call them out, but people that, like, do very good things and people that... That run large businesses, you know, that they make a lot of money, that are very responsible, but they do it in moderation, you know. But I think the thing about weed is versus alcohol is about, because, you know, they're sort of on the same, in the same stratosphere, you know, like heroin and cocaine are floating around in a different bubble, and like, you know, DMT and LSD. But, you know, in terms of innocuousness, like, it's about the same. But it's like with alcohol is like, it's with alcohol, you know, that when you're drinking it, you can't function, right? But people don't acknowledge that as much with weed. People are like, oh, I can smoke weed and do my job. You know, and some people can, right? Some people can do the same with drinking. I mean, Ernest Hemingway was very prolific and he was an alcoholic. But like,
but let's be honest, being a writer and drinking is like, you're not in a coal mine, Ernest, all right? You're not looking after other gentlemen.
Oh, I'm sure that coal miners were drunk too. So my argument is falling apart. But, you know, it's I think it's deceptively like, oh, I can function on it. But like, it's not good for you. Like, it's not good for your motivation or any of that stuff. But I think,
and like, it's a very easy thing to make a crutch, like, you know, like a lot of people will like, oh, it makes me more creative. Well, you know, the argument is like, what happens when you don't have that sort of, when it's not available to you, which it can't happen, you know? And like, if you're a relatively young person, like if you're like under the age of, you know, honestly, like I kind of want to think like drinking age. If you're under 21, what are you doing to sustain this habit?
Because
like you said, you're buying it through the illegal market. Like, you get your shit together, you know, and then like, and then do make those big decisions for yourself. But like, you're under 21, you got other things to do, and you shouldn't be introducing those chemicals to your developing brain just yet.
They've done studies that show that actually if you smoke a lot of weed when you're young, it does affect you developmentally later on in life. I wouldn't want my kids smoking weed, you know? I wouldn't be the cool dad that smokes with them. I'm not even the cool guy that smokes with his friends. Like, I don't smoke. And that, you know, that's why I'm always sober when I do stand up.
No, I don't like,
I think that's bad to have to be drunk or something when you're doing stand up. Like, I'll drink rarely when I do stand up. I think the most I've had before I did stand up was like 3 drinks. But yeah, I because it's like, you want to, I'm a big believer in doing things that are in the most adverse circumstances, you know? So it's like, I want to be able to do stand up like just in any state, you know?
Yeah. I'm not good at stand up, so like good enough at stand up sober, you know? Like, let me work on that first, then I'll think about like,
I don't think I've ever seen anybody whose their performance was greatly improved by alcohol. Like, you think it is, but is it really?
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to another comic, he had a pretty bad drug problem, and he was saying that he would look at tapes and cringe, and he thought he was better when he was doing drugs. But I remember I saw him recently not on drugs, and I was like, oh wow, you're way sharper than the last time I saw you. Yeah. And I noticed that too, because like, I forget things when I drink, or I had the what made me decide to do that is I was at the Funky Buddha on a Saturday for Mike Citron's show, you know, I had like 3 beers, which isn't a lot, you know? And, I did pretty well. Right. Mm-hmm. And Mike was happy with it, you know, and everyone I came with said it was all right, but I'm like, you know, it could have been better.
Yeah.
So now I'm not like, or, but I will sometimes, like if I'm an open mic, you know, and it's like late, or like I got like, I'll, if I'm at Churchill's and the and I'm not going on until like 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll have a beer, you know, but I won't go up on stage drunk, you know?
I don't like drinking before I go on because I get like drinking sweats and then my stomach feels heavy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that feeling at all when I'm on stage. Mm. Like, drinking sweats, I feel uncomfortable. Well, that's
just you being a giant pussy, so.
And then, like, my stomach feeling heavy, uh-uh, no thanks.
Yeah.
But recently, we did a show.
Oh, that was fun.
Yes, we did. We did a show.
Yeah.
That was very fun. The Coral Gables Art Cinema Skeleton Twins show.
Yeah.
Listeners.
They got to see comedy there from some 2 amateur comics and then see professionals be funnier on screen.
Yes, exactly. It was a very good show. Yeah. That was awesome.
That was awesome, man.
Yeah, no, the setup was nice. The reception was good. And like the show right after ours was also went very well.
Oh, it was good, yeah. Because you had Bradless, John Gregory, and Reskin on that show. Yeah.
Yeah.
So happy that Bradless dropped out of our show, so I got some more time.
I got some more time too.
Yeah, it was great. I had a lot of fun at the show, and the crowd was really awesome.
We got one new listener.
Because
of that show. Yeah, like some guy came up to me after the show, and he's like, "Oh man, you guys were funny. What's the name of your podcast again?"
Nice.
And then I'm like, "It's the Black and Jew Podcast."
Did you write it down in his hand?
No.
Well, then he's not going to be a listener, Reggie. That's the number one rule: is you got to write it down in their hand. How could you fuck that up?
I guess we don't have a listener. Hey, if you're at the Skeleton Twins show, tweet at us. Prove Mike wrong.
Yes, prove me wrong, Skeleton Twins show listener. And let me know how the movie was, because I had to dip out, unfortunately. Yeah. I didn't get to see the movie.
I was planning on watching the movie today.
Oh, yeah?
I
might watch it, too.
Yeah.
I had such a hedonistic weekend, dude. Holy shit.
Really?
I thought I had unraveled a lot of my weight loss, but thankfully I only gained 2 pounds, which is a godsend.
Well, what'd you do? Where'd you eat?
Well, on Friday after the show, I went to the local. Right?
Oh, nice. That's in Coconut Grove.
Yeah, and I had some beef tartare, which isn't that bad. No, you're thinking of the locale. The local is in Coral Gables, which is an awesome bar. Awesome beer selection.
The local.
Yeah, it's a cool place. Awesome beer selection. Awesome everything. Good food, good. It's a cool atmosphere too, you know, like it's like kind of like a gastropub sort of thing. But yeah, and then I was like, all right, I'm doing okay. I'm going to stay on track. But then my friend's birthday was afterwards, and you know, it got rowdy.
Birthday's
a lot of drinking.
Yeah.
And then I had a Taco Bell quesarito afterwards.
Whoa. I still have
overboard.
I've become more conscious of my eating.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you gotta live. Like,
yeah, you do.
You gotta live, and like,
but also you gotta live, so you can't eat too bad.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant. That was my first one. You have to live, so that way, you know, you can't eat too bad.
Yeah.
And I drove around Mossab Youssef, the guy that he's the one that was the informant for Israel or the Palestine?
It was the Hamas.
Hamas. He was the informant for Hamas. There you go. No, but who was he informing for is what I was trying to draw.
I don't know.
Well, he was
maybe
the informant.
Israel? I don't know.
He was the Hamas spy. Like, but his father started Hamas. He was like the founder of Hamas. I drove him around. Really interesting guy. Very nice guy.
Uh-huh.
And we started talking about food.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he's like a vegan.
Yeah?
He's a vegan. And we started talking about food, and he's like, yeah, the basic gist of what he was saying is that, like, we as, like, right now, our food culture, we're, like, us people, we're just chasing flavors. Uh-huh. And, like, we're chasing fleeting moments of, like, high sugar, you know, high fat. You know, we're just chasing these moments that go by quickly. So that's why we scarf down, like, you know, like, sugar and, like, you know, all these, like, fatty and delicious foods that, like, honestly, some of it is, like, artificially made to, like, hit, like, certain receptors in your brain and your tongue. And he, you know, we started talking about that, and he was making a lot of sense. And then he brought it home with this analogy where he's like, you know, your body's like a tree. What does a tree need? It needs water.
Yeah.
But if you give it, you know, let's just say oil, the tree's not going to grow. It's going to be alive for a little
bit. Or Brano, because it has electrolytes. That's what plants crave.
I love that movie. I love that movie so much. Check out Idiocracy, guys. Mike Judge, brilliant movie.
Yeah.
So, your body's like a tree. You need to give it water. It needs to grow. It needs to nourish. And there's certain things that your body needs. Yeah. We covered this a little bit with John Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just a little bit.
Like, metaphysical nutrition metaphors.
Yeah.
He's like, he was saying, like, you are food. You don't just eat. Food becomes you as opposed to it just being fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, talking with him really got me thinking more critically about what I eat. And then I'm embarrassed to say, I'm embarrassed because I didn't try it for very long because I don't have much money to try it. But I tried veganism for like a solid week.
Yeah. I tried a macrobiotic for like a solid week.
Sweet. That's awesome. How'd that go for you?
I felt amazing for that week.
Yeah.
But I like food too much. Like some people have vices, you know, everyone has their vice.
Oh.
And you know, I don't know if I agree with the tree analogy, because trees don't have taste buds. Because, you know, you have that, it affects my mental state. If I'm not eating good, you know, if I'm not eating well.
But that's another thing
that's
we were talking
important
about.
That's an important thing about, like, the culinary aspect of my life is very important to me.
Oh, no, yeah, that's another thing he was talking about, too, like, how it requires discipline. Like what
yeah.
what type of what are you looking for? Like I totally understand where you're coming from, Mike. Like the culinary yeah. aspect of my life is also very important.
Yeah.
I love having like $8 empanadas. Like
yeah,
cuz
yeah.
it's the bomb, you yeah. know? But what do I want to do later on in my life? Do I want to be sharper, more focused? I want to live longer. I want to yeah. be healthier. So I need to discipline myself and know that like these things are there, but like the long run, you know, having a more not having the goat milk cheesecake is what I need to do.
Well, I would love enjoy that goat milk cheesecake.
Yeah, you can have it. More for you, right?
I don't know, man. Like I can't deprive myself of those things. There's only so much you can deprive yourself of. You
yeah,
know?
No, totally
there's a balance. I think you could be healthy and
no,
still...
yeah, you could. There's definitely a balance to achieve. And, yeah. But just playing devil's advocate here, like
yeah.
you could have that balance, or you could have the extreme, which actually will not, you know, hurt you in any way. Like, you know, like I kind of like you could kind of say that like. Like candy.
Yeah.
You can never have candy in your life. You'll be fine.
You sort of will be fine.
Well, I mean, you still need sugar, but like...
I don't know, man. I feel like it creates some sort of mental anguish for me to to deprive myself so much. And I saw a survey when I was in college. It was a scientific study that was saying that we have a finite amount of willpower. And if you exercise willpower in... one part of your life, it'll affect another part of your life.
Really interesting.
Yeah, and like they did, I know they did one study where they did like this math test, right? Like they were giving these people like a numbers games or something like that, and they gave the people were supposed to not eat beforehand. They're supposed to be hungry, right? One group they gave a bowl of candy that they said they could eat as much as they want. The other they gave like a bowl of greens or some radishes or some bullshit, and the people who ate the candy performed better on the thing because.
Really?
Yeah, exercising the willpower, because the people that were exercising the willpower to avoid the candy,
I would assume,
yeah, I think
right?
they're supposed to avoid the candy, right? And they could only eat the healthy
because
shit.
The candy would like make them crash and tired, like if they just had a bunch before the test.
No, because the people who did eat the candy performed better.
Oh, okay.
So the people that had to exercise the willpower to not eat the candy were. That was
oh that created worse. Like an anguish in them, like I yeah. really want candy but I know I shouldn't have it, and then that affected yeah, yeah. their like mental state.
So you only have so much, and like they just gave up on the test way quicker
yeah.
because they had to exercise that willpower in some other aspect of their life.
Yeah,
but I think there's a healthy balance, you know,
there's,
like
yeah.
and maybe that's he's the kind of guy that doesn't really care about food that much and like can give that up. Like there's certain things people are okay with giving up. And there's certain things that me personally, like with wine, like I don't have to drink really expensive wine all the time. Like I
really expensive wine is like, sorry to interrupt you, but like, honestly, there's no need for really expensive. Like there's much better wine. That's just like $15.
Dude, even like a $30 bottle of wine or even a $15 bottle of wine.
Yeah.
You could give me like $2 Chuck. Right. And as long as it's like not the most disgusting thing in the world,
yeah, no.
like I'm totally cool with
there's
drinking garbage wine, you know, I'm not that when it comes to coffee, no, you know, but
yeah.
like when it, like I'm totally, there's certain parts of my life that I'm okay with being garbage.
Yeah.
You know, like if I stay at a hotel, like I don't really care if the accommodations are amazing. Like it doesn't really matter to me, you know, like even if I'm like eating food, like I don't need like super gourmet shit. I like greasy spoon kind of places.
Like
so maybe he's the kind of guy, you know, that maybe you know, it's not something he really cares about that much, but maybe
yeah.
there's something else that he does, you know?
Well, yeah, I'm just like, I just really need to think forward when it comes to like when I'm
oh,
eating.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I need to not eat the quesarito.
Yeah.
That could be done.
You could have I have a quesarito a month, maybe.
Yeah.
It's not going to kill you.
Yeah, it's not going to kill you. Like these things in moderation,
yeah.
obviously.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you were talking about vices, one thing I need to exercise is like, I recently got back. Well, you had a hedonistic weekend, I'll tell you. Well, I got back into playing Pokemon.
Oh.
And that's just been like, just
yeah.
like, I, you know, pick it up, fire it up. It's like, oh, this is where I left off. I was doing this, 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 and that. And then I'm looking up competition videos all over again. And I need to
yeah.
slow my roll. All right? Slow my roll.
I
can't.
Feel you. You
it's
relapse.
A vice.
Yeah.
It's a vice.
But, you know, also, it's, and I know this might sound racist, but... since you're black, you got to eat healthier, because black people are at higher risk for stroke and heart disease.
Mm-hmm. Because Ronald Reagan did that. Yep, I remember.
What? Yeah, he's the one who did the genetic engineering experiment. But it's true, though. Like if you like, you're at higher risk for stroke and heart disease if you're black, and like that's why.
Like, is it like just a purely black thing? Like, there's something in my genes.
Yeah, yeah.
That does that.
It's like how you guys get sickle cell anemia. You have the gene for that. I don't know. Uh-huh. But it's genetic. No, like I'm not trying to be like making a joke. It's true. Like if you're black, you're at higher risk. Like, look it up. You're at higher risk for stroke and heart disease. You know. So like, if you couple that with an unhealthy diet, low life expectancy. You know.
So, I mean, I'm already, you know, like there's cops out there too.
A lot of things trying to bring the black man down. You know.
I think it's killing me.
In blue uniforms and. Sometimes, you know, like in, you know, multicolored Fruit Loops or whatever. I don't know. Try to come up with something quick, but it wasn't.
They should just start shooting black people with pieces of bacon.
I think bacon kills more black people than cops. And I and you could quote me on that, because I bet you if you look that up, like I bet Hart, like what's the
why isn't Al Sharpton like rhyming about bacon?
Which I think is it's funny too. I think like people in the country. Right, like country people, they think that they're really concerned about having a gun that they could shoot people with, but really it's the cheeseburger that's going to kill them. All right, look, so here's the 10 leading causes of death for African Americans: heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, unintentional injuries. That's interesting.
That's the best one. Unintentional injuries.
Be careful when you're cleaning your roof. Nephrotic syndrome, nephrosis, kidney disease. Homicide is number 8. So, heart disease kills way more black people than the cops. Like cops. I don't know if that counts as homicide, but that's number 8. So.
Cops is number 8. Heart disease is number 1.
Yeah. Heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes. So stroke, cancer, heart disease, the top 4 can be are at some in some way preventable by
Yeah. There's a lot of things that go into that. Like access to, you know, resources. Access to like good like food. Like just resources. Like some people live in food deserts.
Yeah.
Or like the only option.
Or basic education about nutrition.
Basic education about nutrition, resources, more access to food, like different types of food.
Yeah.
And then there's also like the culture of food.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like there's a movie called Soul Food.
Yeah.
And that like celebrates like.
Good for your soul, bad for your heart.
Yeah. So like, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that. But like, most definitely. I know I need to take care of that. I also, my family has like weird, like some weird genetic diseases that I've like been lucky enough to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being with like something in my mom's side of the family with their teeth.
Uh-huh.
Another thing, like with my dad's side of the family, honestly, like I'm gonna be real with you, like with our penises, like dead serious, like some, like I don't know what it is, but I avoided it. So no need to worry, Black and Jew listeners.
I know there's an easy joke and in then, there, but I didn't take it.
Yeah, you took the high road.
High road.
And then also cancer. Mm-hmm. Cancer goes...
What kind of cancer?
All types.
That's good.
My grandma on my dad's side, liver. My uncle survived lymph node.
And lymphoma.
Lymphoma, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then currently my dad, he is struggling. Well, not struggling, actually. He's doing very well.
That's good.
With lung cancer.
That's not an easy one to do very well with, so that's pretty awesome.
It is not. But that's the other thing. Like, there's a history in my family.
Yeah.
So I need to take care of myself.
You know, it's funny because I went to a cardiologist, right? Because my mom's like, you should go to a cardiologist to see how you're whatever it's doing. I'm like, all right, go. And he's just like, why the fuck are you here? Pretty much. He's like, everything's fine. Like, I don't like this. You need to go to like, you're pretty much in a nice way. He said like, you're wasting my time. Cause you need to do this at your general, your family doctor, your primary care physician. And I was like, yeah, but my mom says there's a heart disease in my family. And, he's like, oh yeah. Who's had heart disease in your family? I'm like, well, it was my grandpa. And he's like, oh yeah, he's your grandpa. How old was he when he got heart disease? I'm like, and he's like 80s or something. He's like, and did he like, was he really active? Did he eat well? And I'm like, not really. He's like, yeah, I don't think heart disease runs in your family. I think it's just the result of a bunch of bad decisions. That's why, yeah, like, and especially coming from the perspective of someone who had been in bad health, you know, I had cancer. So literally the worst thing that can happen to you is if something bad happens with your health. Like, there's really nothing worse than that. Like, if you gave me the choice of being where I'm at right now and being pretty good health, or being a multi-billionaire and being in bad health, I would take, because it's like, if you're in bad health, like, it does not matter what you have.
Most definitely. I agree with you.
It's like that horrible adage, health is wealth.
Yeah.
You know that cheesy adage.
It's very cheesy, but it's also very true. Like, you only got one body. You gotta take care of it. That's also very cheesy, but still.
Yeah. No,
like,
it's true.
It's true. You only got one body, and like,
it's not like a car. It's not like a Honda.
Yeah, it's definitely not like a Honda. Because Hondas are metal, Mike.
Yeah, I think
about bodies.
Food culture is, and to use your friend's analogy, you actually could put oil in that thing and it would run well. You wouldn't want to put water.
He's my friend now.
Yeah, your buddy. Your informant buddy. But yeah, like, it's so important to be healthy. What was it? What I was going to go somewhere else with that. I forget what I was going to say. Oh yeah, with food culture. Like, I think that whatever your culture is, my theory on it is that whatever your culture is, your native dishes could put you at a big advantage or disadvantage in terms of your health, you know? Cause if you go to, like I was in Spain, right? And their native dishes are so much, the portion sizes are so much smaller. So no, there's not as many fat people, right? I think it has to do with not just education, but your traditional dishes. But I think Mexico now has a higher obesity rate than the United States because their traditional dishes are disgusting. You know, they're good, but they're like horrible for you. And I think with black people too, like, you know, a lot of fried foods, a lot of butter, you know, a lot of soul food that is not necessarily good for you.
Could that, like, for the thing in Mexico, could that be formed because of like what they receive as the American perception of what Mexican food is? Or is that just like a thing that was going up steadily?
I think it was going up steadily. Just Tex-Mex, you know, with easier access to food and stuff like that.
Because Tex-Mex is not real Mexican food.
Yeah.
It's
Tex-Mex.
Yeah, it's Tex-Mex.
It's like a half and half.
Yeah, it's like a
half. No, but I think it was just the access gets easier. And this is my cockamamie theory, so it could be wrong. But it's like their traditional foods that they're used to eating, right?
Uh-huh.
Are just not good for you. Like a lot of fried food, a lot of oil,
you
know, a lot of white flour and a lot of meat, a lot of pork. And that's bad for you. Like, if you look at Japan, for example, it's really funny. I looked at this ranking of all these overweight countries, and it was like the top ones were like the most affluent ones. So you had, obviously, you know, you had the United States and Mexico was there. And then the countries got progressively poorer, right?
But then did it flip?
No, there was like, it got progressively poorer, and then it was like Turkey, Liberia, blah, blah. And then it was like Japan after all of those really poor countries that it's a bunch of people. It's like people that could afford food, so they're fat, people who couldn't afford food, so they're skinny, and the people who could afford food but are still skinny. And that's because in Japan, a lot of fish, you know, like not a lot of, like, it's just the way that it is. They would eat a lot of fish. They don't have high rates of heart disease. I heard high rates of stomach cancer because of all the nitrates, but not a high rate of heart disease, you know, because of their traditional food. And that makes it a lot easier. So you're not fighting against that, you know?
And like where is it? Is it India? Like India where they, where they don't eat cows.
No, they don't. Yeah, they don't eat cows for the most part.
They're primarily vegetarian.
Yeah, they don't eat meat. I think Goa is the only place where meat is eaten in India.
Yeah. So then, you know, that lends itself to that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Like where, like, people, because of like their specific food culture, mm-hmm. it benefits them in the long run.
Yeah, exactly.
Where like, oh, I've never had meat, so I don't really miss the flavor or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And I prefer like this right here.
Yeah, just some spinach panak.
Yeah, exactly.
Palak paneer.
That's definitely like Cuban food.
Yeah, Cuban food is not
perfect.
Good.
Perfect example, yeah. Like. If you go to any Cuban restaurant and you know read it off, like there's a lot of like
no such thing as a Cuban health food store.
Yeah, there is. You couldn't have one.
But I think I think that plays a large part in it. And I think that's why the healthiest group of people are people with the healthiest eating traditions. And you know what group that is, right?
Which one?
Rich suburban housewives that shop at Whole Foods.
Oh yes, the rich suburban housewife that shops at Whole Foods.
If your culture involves a lot of yoga pants, mm-hmm. then you will be
yes,
better off.
Yes, yes. What is this, kale? The kale is a very strong,
kale very is a big, prominent it's a cornerstone of
vegetable
the,
of the wasp.
The biggest purchaser of kale before the health craze was actually was Pizza Hut to decorate their displays, their buffet displays. No fucking joke.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
What's funny about those superfoods is that there's actually like stuff that they've been eating. There's stuff that we've been eating that is like, you know how like everyone's going crazy about the acai berry from Brazil?
Yeah.
Blueberries are almost exactly as good. And like same thing with I guarantee you that spinach is just as good as kale, but now it's just like it's a superfood.
Yeah, and then like kale's going through its thing where like, oh, we're turning it into chips. You want kale chips?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're doing it to, you know, kale chips are delicious.
I'm all about that shit.
Yeah. I like going through a Whole Foods.
Yeah.
A Whole Foods, the experience
the
of
worst
a
part of the Whole Foods though is the checkout line.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. That's, but like everything else, like
yeah, it's great. It's a great it's just like this cornucopia of
it's
deliciousness.
So, yeah, it's delicious. Like really nice cold cuts over here. Nice wine section over there. Look at that hot bar. Oh my gosh. Look at these pastries. And you're going through and like, look at all these strange and exotic products.
They have a tapas bar in there now.
Yeah, they do. They real funny. I was watching this show called The Meltdown with Jonah and Kamel on Comedy Central. Eugene Merman was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's doing a set of jokes about how the Whole Foods in Brooklyn has a record store in it.
No. Shut up.
Yeah, like this fancy pantsy Whole Foods has a record store in it.
It better be sustainable vinyl.
Sustainable vinyl?
Sustainable vinyl.
That if you... you
a lot
get
of vinyl trees being chopped
yeah,
down.
Yeah, exactly. It only has 10 plays. Then it just grows a plant and sprouts. That's it.
Yeah, I like going to Whole Foods too. It's just so expensive.
Oh, yeah. No, it's insanely
What's
expensive.
Funny is I used to go there and they had this tiny little beer section. And I remember the guy who took care of all the beers, like, I'm trying to expand this, get this going. And now it's like this huge, like, I love the craft beer explosion. Now at fucking football stadiums, you can get craft beer.
Yeah, you can.
And that's another part of my hedonism journey. All right. Because Friday I had the party with my friend's birthday party where it just got rowdy, of course. And then the next day we went to a football game. We went to the UM Duke game. And before that, I went to Hillstone and I was like, oh, I'll get the ahi tuna sandwich. And like, it was just like this huge thing, you know, it was like, it was intense. And then we went there and, you know, Christine's dad's like a big booster. So he gets to go into like the presidential skybox. Like I met Donna Shalala, you know, the president of UM. And like, of course I went in there and like, I couldn't shake her hand cause there was mustard all over it. Cause I was like scarfing down everything I could find.
Oh, I've been in one of those like skyboxes for like the Marlins game.
Yeah.
For when I was working for the Heat store, they invited all of us, all the higher ups. Oh gosh.
It's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
And one of them, like I was so full from dinner. And then I was so full from like eating this hot dog. And then they had this other place with desserts with M&Ms and then they had this thing of pulled pork too.
Pulled pork.
Not as a dessert, but
that's a dessert.
And I was so disgusted with myself, but I'm like, free pulled pork. I have to have this.
Where did pulled pork kind of snuck up on me? Like I didn't
pulled
know
pork's the best.
Right.
It's one of my favorite foods in the world.
I didn't know it was a thing. And then like I discovered pulled pork. And now pulled pork totally fucks the game up.
Oh, yeah.
Like, anytime it's on a menu and I considered something, pulled pork's like, hey, come on. I'm your buddy, pulled pork.
That's in my, like, top
Pick
10
me.
Favorite foods is
yes,
pulled pork.
Because
I love barbecue in general, you know? Not a really big fan of barbecue brisket, but maybe because I'm just used to my mom's Jewish way of making it with gravy and stuff. But
I had some Jewish brisket.
Oh, yeah?
Really good.
With Haley?
Yeah. Haley's uncle's house.
Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, we had stuffed cabbage for ours. Jewish food is very hearty.
Yes.
That's our soul food.
I was talking with Haley during Rosh Hashanah, and she's like, yeah, we're real big on food metaphors, too, because there's like a food metaphor in Yom Kippur, right?
Uh-huh.
And in Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, and I think in like Passover, you got a plate of different foods, like the bitter herbs.
Yeah,
the salt
you got like a plate of
the egg, whatever.
So, I had some brisket. Everybody was hating on the brisket, but I was digging that brisket.
What, they said it was bad?
They said it needed gravy. I'm like, y'all need to like chill because this brisket's really good. But
brisket's great. Like the those cuts of meat that are roasted for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we're poor. Well, we were poor when we came here. Now we own all the banks and stuff. But before that, we got the cheap cuts of meat.
Does your family like Manischewitz?
No one likes Manischewitz.
Yeah, no one in Haley's family likes Manischewitz either.
Nobody likes. You don't drink it because you like it.
You drink it because it's the only kosher wine. But even then, you're like, fuck.
No, it's not actually my.
Well, like the only kosher wine I know of.
Yeah, but most people, I didn't know that until recently that my dad bought this kosher Cabernet Sauvignon from Israel, and that's what we had. And he's like, "Do you want some?" I'm like, I don't care, but like, we're not kosher. We don't keep kosher at all. Why do we have to drink kosher wine? But it was pretty good, so whatever. It was
okay. Yeah. But Manischewitz
made
okay.
Right in the Fertile Crescent, you know, where winemaking started.
Manischewitz. Everyone,
it's disgusting. No one likes it.
No one likes it.
I think on The Daily Show, like, Jon Stewart called out President Obama because Obama's like, that's good matzah. And he's like, we know you're not a Jew because everyone knows there's no such thing as good matzah.
I kind of enjoyed matzah the first time I had it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Dude, but the trick is, and I think this would probably make anything good, but you put butter and salt on it, it's good.
Okay, yeah, no, that's to say, I put the horseradish on it, so it was kind of being overpowered.
Interesting,
by,
yeah, yeah.
And then I put it on the matzah, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry, I'm thinking about gefilte fish. I actually like the matzah.
You like the matzah?
Yeah, I like the matzah.
Do you like the gefilte fish?
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about. That was the weird one that apparently I was not supposed to like.
Yeah, yeah. I guess gefilte fish isn't that bad, but I don't know. There's much better Jewish food.
But so you're at the Skybox, pulled pork is amazing, and you're just like scarfing this shit down. That's awesome.
I did not feel good about myself afterwards.
Oh, no, yeah, no. You're.
And then there was more hedonism that happened, I think. And then, like, I would just, I'm off the fucking rail, so I ate potato chips
like a Roman
on Sunday,
leash.
You know, like, just horrible, like my cheat weekend. But Christine's parents were in town, so.
Et tu fat,
Brutus? I wore UM colors. I wore UM colors for the game, and I got some crap from a Gator and a Seminole was there, but I did it. You know, Christine's dad really wanted me to wear UM. And I feel like even though UM and FSU are technically rivals, like, I don't really care because I was a UM fan.
Yeah.
You know, before an FSU, I was an FSU fan. And also, like, my dad got his Juris Doctorate from there. Christine's dad got his MBA from there. And I got my cancer cured from them, so I feel like I'm cool. I'm cool with wearing their colors, you know.
UM's.
I have no problem. Like once you get your tumor shrunk by a place, you can wear their colors.
You could. When's your football team playing? Yeah, I'll totally wear the colors.
Except unless they're playing FSU, in which case, fuck them.
I'm actually going to be going to Gainesville very soon.
Oh yeah, what are you going to do there?
I am going to I'm going to catch this band called Those Darlins, mm-hmm. A really awesome band from like Tennessee. They play country rock and
Those
rockabilly.
Darlins.
Those Darlins, they're amazing. I saw them perform down here when Best Coast came into town.
Mm-hmm.
They opened up for them.
I know Best Coast. They're on a Spotify playlist somewhere of mine.
Yeah. Oh, if you like Best Coast, you'll like Those Darlins, and they just have a phenomenal sound.
Watch out for the mic stand. Making some noise, ruining the podcast as always.
So Those I'm gonna darlings. Catch them up, and then Monday is my birthday.
Really?
Yes, and I'm gonna catch Saint Vincent.
Ooh, Saint Vincent is great.
Yes,
I listened to the stuff you missed in history class, and they did an episode on Saint Vincent. It was great.
Like the Saint Vincent.
Like, yeah.
Does it tie into the artist Saint Vincent?
Yeah, yeah. The artist Saint, like the poet Saint Vincent.
Yeah.
She called herself. Wait, no, maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. I think her name was Saint Vincent.
Well, the person I'm going to see is Saint Vincent. Like she.
Well, there was like an author, I think. Saint, I don't know, whatever, fuck it.
But yeah, so concert, and then that same week of my birthday, 10, 11, 12, 3 Points Festival. So I see a bunch of DJs and producers and like bands.
Cool.
So I'm loaded. Like
sounds exhausting. Good to be young.
Yeah. And then, speaking of hedonism, I ordered a guava cake.
Ooh.
From a place called Joel's Desserts.
Mm-hmm.
Cream cheese icing. Guava cake with guava chunks in it.
Wow.
So that cake is going to be bomb on Monday.
In the morning, now, I make like one of those Trader Joe's. They have these like 100 calorie sandwich slims. And I used to have half of one of those, and I put some almond butter and some guava on top of it. It's delicious.
Oh, that's another place I like shopping at, Trader Joe's.
Oh, Trader Joe's the shit.
Trader Joe's
so cheap
is
too.
Yeah, it is cheap.
As a Jew, I approve. It's a madhouse if you go there.
Oh yeah, have you had the cookie butter? I hear people swear by that.
Oh, it's all right.
I have not,
dude. You know, I know I'm going to sound like an asshat, but after having my own homemade peanut butter, cookie butter can't fuck with it.
Oh no, okay. If that's what you're comparing it to, I have a good gauge as well because yeah. You made me some homemade peanut butter. So fuck cookie butter.
I need to make some for Artistic Vibes. I got some peanuts I need to get rid of, so I'm going to make some. For okay. Them, I think.
But so yeah,
I like baking for people to give me stage time.
It's a good. I like how you're sustaining yourself in the scene. Like
yeah. When I go to LA, I'm going to be giving out lots of loaves.
Lots of loaves. Hey, I know. Here, have a loaf of bread. Well, if you can get, like, maybe someone has a yeah. gluten allergy or it's like, I'm sorry, I'm doing a whole non-gluten thing.
Damn it. They have a great showcase. I could have gone.
Sorry, not doing that, no.
Bake them something else gluten-free.
Baking without gluten is pretty hard because gluten is the
gluten
protein
is what,
that
yeah, makes it.
Binds, yeah, that binds
people
it.
Were talking about, like, I was talking to somebody and they were like, you know, I'm trying to eat less gluten, like, does your bread, like your bread probably since it's natural, more natural, since you make it like from not a lot of ingredients, probably has less gluten, right? I'm like, no, it's literally only gluten.
Yeah.
It's gluten, water, and some salt. Like it's so glutinous. I heard there was a study that gluten sensitivity without having celiac disease is total bullshit.
Really?
Which I'm not surprised about. I saw some guy on 4chan was talking about like shit that happened to him as a chef, right? Mm-hmm. He could be lying, but I mean, you know, this doesn't seem out of the realm of plausibility, but like this one lady wanted like gluten-free pasta and then like she sent it back and she's like, where's the breadcrumbs that it usually comes with? But like, I can understand that. Like if you're the kind of person that's just like, oh, gluten is bad and have no idea what it is or have no idea how it affects you. Like,
yeah, I think a lot of people do that to themselves. A lot of people do that in general.
They don't know what. Why.
Yeah, like they know they shouldn't have this or shouldn't like this thing, but can't back themselves up.
Yeah.
And like in a lot of ways, that's kind of fair to do, you know. Yeah. But like, you know, don't before you start looking like an ass, inform yourself a little bit.
Yeah. No, fuck that. I just want to hop on the latest trend. That's a lot more convenient.
Didn't even know gluten was a thing. You know, around the same time that pulled pork started being a thing, gluten started being a thing, uh-huh. And then it just came into my life. Maybe how long is, you know what, I'm gonna research this pulled pork phenomenon, because Wendy's has a pulled pork sandwich now.
Ooh,
yes,
delicious. You know, my friend was staying over here and she was like recovering from surgery, so we went to Whole Foods and got her all the stuff, and one of the things was this body wash that Christine got, and it said gluten-free body wash. It's like, if you have celiac disease, I bet that you could use an oatmeal scrub. Like, I think it's when you fucking eat it. Like a gluten-free body wash. Like people, it's really crazy how, you know, they talk about there's anti-science on the left and anti-science on the right. And anti-science on the left is horrible because maybe it's even worse in some ways than on the right, because it's the right. It's like, Jesus did it. I don't care what you say. Right? But on the left, it's like, well, this blog said it, so I'm sorry, it's the truth. Like, there's so many, like, health science gurus that are like, what are your credentials? Like, why should I believe you?
Yeah.
You know? Like, well, like you're just saying this, like, this bulletproof coffee guy. Like, I do the bulletproof coffee thing, but he's like, oh, yeah, I roast my coffee special, so it doesn't have a lot of toxins in it. And someone was telling me about it, and I'm like, they're like, yeah, it doesn't have as many toxins. I'm like, according to who? According to this guy? Like, anyone could say this.
What toxin? Like,
it's like this thing called like myotoxins or something. I don't know. It's stupid. Because according to, like, you're just going to say that you're an expert on something and now you're an expert on something, you know?
Yeah. No, you can't.
Like CrossFit, you know? People, it's like, I took an hour training. I'm an expert on fitness.
CrossFit is a single-handed, is the thing keeping like chiropractors in business. Like, it's the thing keeping like back specialists in business.
Yeah.
CrossFit, people blowing out their backs and knees and like, come on, no, yeah, you can't just, you know, it's just so easy to exploit that in individuals.
It's like
a snake
oil salesman.
Yeah, it's a snake oil salesman. You play on their fears. You say something with confidence, and yeah. bam, you have them in the palm of your hand.
Do you know where the origin of the snake oil salesman is? Do you know what snake oil salesman
You're
going
to tell me. Yep. Black and Jew fun fact.
Yep.
Go.
Time for a Black and Jew boop, 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 fun fact.
So, Mike, where'd snake oil salesman come
it's,
from?
When, according to Native American mythology, snakes were good for bringing rain, right? And there was, during the Dust Bowl, there was all these people that would come into town and sell various remedies to make it rain, right? not in the hip hop sense, but in the actual water sense. And like some people would like drape snakes over their fences. One guy would shoot like rockets into the clouds to try to get it to rain. And one of them was, you'd sell snake oil to try to get it to happen. Cause according to America, but it didn't work obviously. So
yeah.
Hence the term snake oil. So what?
I love learning about the past because the past just keeps on getting dumber and dumber. And you know, it's not their
fault.
We're
just as dumb now.
Yeah, it's as dumb now, but still, like, it's just... oh my gosh, the past was so shitty.
That's what I think every time.
Yeah.
As a cancer survivor, now I don't even want to go 10 years in the past.
Hell no.
Because it's like, it's 10 years of not getting of worse treatment,
people
you know?
Shooting rockets. About this day.
You know, the
like,
theory behind it was actually sort of sound, believe it or not, the rocket thing.
Really?
Yeah, sort of.
Does it scare the clouds and make them cry?
That's what it is. No, but I think that you could actually stimulate clouds by doing that.
Yeah, oh, okay.
But not the way he did it, but...
Yeah, but like, I guess it's like some chemical in the fireworks.
Yeah, yeah, some shit.
Like,
I don't fucking know that incites it, but... But now, the snake oil salesmen have moved on to some other gimmick.
Yeah.
So many gimmicks out there. Like, people, I saw, there's people passing around those lists. Like, one is like 8 beers that you shouldn't drink. And it's like, one was like Guinness because it has corn syrup in it. And it's like,
corn.
According to who? Like, there's no citations. Why do you just believe this? You're a moron.
Yeah. Also, I mean, corn syrup in large quantities is bad, right? Like, it's one of those things where it's like,
in any quantity, it's not good.
And it won't, like, it's, we have it because we need cheaper sugar.
No, not really.
Not
it's,
really?
It's because the reason that corn syrup is cheaper is because the government subsidizes corn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so, I've heard about that.
So corn is like artificially, the prices are artificially low.
Oh, okay.
You know, so I don't know. That's why corn syrup is so cheap. In other countries, they use sugar.
My daddy sold snake oil. His daddy sold snake oil.
And, by
and now I dang, sell you antibiotics.
And I lobby Congress to make corn cheaper.
Gosh, so dumb. People we've talked about this before, but people like to feel safe. And like these things feel safe.
Yeah.
But they're honestly bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. We're the one of the most gullible generations. One of the most skeptical yet gullible generations.
Yeah.
Like confirmation bias is so much easier to come by nowadays with the internet. You know, it's like, I believe this thing. Here's other people that believe these thing. Want some facts about it? Get the fuck out. You know? Like, we're both at the same time the most gullible and most...
You this or did I show you this? Someone on my Facebook feed reposted an article about, like, the Ebola virus making people zombies.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, well, I screen capped it, but, like, this guy's like, damn, looks like it's the Walking Dead down there.
That's a little more plausible than some of the things people say.
I go to the website, and on that website, one page down is an article about how gang members are using lightsabers to fight.
Heard about it. That's a big problem. It's those cartels. I don't know how they got a hold of Jedi technology.
Got a hold of the Force, but shit, man.
And then the next one is like the farmers are using like moisture evaporators from Tatooine.
Oh my fucking gosh! That's
I can't wait for the new Star Wars to come out.
Oh hell yeah! So can't wait for it too. Especially because George
production.
Lucas isn't behind it.
Yeah, I'm so glad he's gone.
Oh my gosh, he's not good.
No, he's not. And it's funny because he's good as like a businessman producer, but not good at literally everything else.
Yeah, no, I mean like thank you for what you did. You set the precursors and like made things all right. But like honestly,
get some money for the film, which was good.
Yeah.
But it's just like it was because if you read about it, like he was fighting tooth and nail against all the good things that were in the original Star Wars.
Yeah, Patton Oswalt has a great joke about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you listen to the commentary of the latest Indiana Jones,
yeah,
George Lucas was the worst thing to happen to Indiana Jones.
Really?
Yeah, there's this part where, like, you know, Steven Spielberg's there and he's talking. And he's like, yeah. And then George said he wanted something, right? Like something really dumb. Like,
yeah.
And then Steven Spielberg was like, but George, that, all right, George, we'll just let you do it. And they just like totally surrendered to him. And like,
it's funny.
I was, more on George Lucas later. I was actually reading this thing on NPR's Code Switch.
Yeah.
Which is, like, if the Black and Jew podcast had a more successful older sister that got her shit straight and, like, you know, raised a very good family, had her own business, it'd be NPR's Code Switch.
What's it about? What kind of podcast is it?
No, it's not a podcast. It's like a section of NPR that deals with, like, race issues and, like,
oh, okay.
Yeah. And one of their articles.
I thought it was about video games and nerd stuff.
Never mind. It was one of the articles they were talking about was how, like, there's this case right now, which got resolved, but like there's this case right now where they want to make it so that way rap lyrics can be used as legal evidence.
Oh yeah, you were talking about that earlier.
Yeah. Where rap lyrics can be used as legal evidence. And one of the arguments for it was like this guy was writing a law professor was writing a paper and he's like, what one needs to do when working against when you have a defendant or when you're in the courtroom, you need to show the real person behind the crime. And that's where rap lyrics could come in, which is essentially what he said. Where like, now that we have, if you use rap lyrics, you're putting a window in this person's real life. And like, the reason why this all started was because there was a number of killings in Michigan, and all of them were, it was like 20, 28 killings, right?
Yeah.
And then there's this hip hop group picking up some traction, and they were rivals with another group.
Yeah.
And like the case went cold initially, then it got picked up by a detective, and then a cop gave the detective a tip about this song by one of the hip hop groups that was getting very popular. And In that song, there's a very ambiguous lyric where it's like, oh, I choked him. Like, oh, I choked him. Then I sharpened the shank and poked him. Right. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. The initial case, no one was choked or shanked or stabbed. Right.
Uh-huh.
They were all shot.
Yeah.
But they take his lyrics as evidence and then use it against him.
Huh.
And then he gets convicted. That's the initial process.
He gets tried.
There you go. He gets tried because of his rap lyrics, and that's not good.
that sets a dangerous precedent for any form of art. You know, because what if I make a joke about killing people and I don't kill people, but it's just a metaphor?
Mm-hmm. It makes a dangerous precedent for any form of art. Like, are we going to take Picasso's Guernica and charge him for war crimes or? You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, rappers say silly things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, honestly and truly, everything a rapper raps about, should not be taken at face value.
Everything a rapper say, we're talking about rap here. Speaking of the vernacular.
Like, whatever a rapper says, should not be taken at face value. Especially not in court.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Like, Snoop Dogg, there are no hoes he is pimping. Snoop Dogg has actually been in a very committed relationship for the better part of his life.
Uh-huh.
He has three kids and a wife. There's no hoes he's pimping. He does smoke all that weed. But, you know, just like you said, what are we really going to, try him for, saying something? You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, well, obviously he's the head of the cartel. He smokes weed every day. How do you keep up with that habit? That's crazy, dude. It's like, but why doesn't it happen with country singers?
Country singers are just as bad. Like, a lot, I don't like.
They don't talk about killing as much. It's more like drinking Budweiser's and how the South shall rise again. But, you know, thinly veiled metaphors.
Thinly veiled metaphors.
We're coming back, y'all. Gonna do it again. And I hate black people a lot. Yeah, yeah.
That wasn't very thinly veiled.
I don't know. It's ambiguous to me.
I hate that people keep on blaming rap music for horrible things. Like, oh, the reason why my kid is violent is because of rap music. Because
you're a bad parent.
Yeah. The reason why, you know, there's misogyny in the world is because of rap music. You know, just these things. Look, there is misogyny in rap music.
I don't think it helps.
It doesn't help, but like that wasn't the sole source.
No, it was there before.
Yeah, it was.
What came before first, the chicken or the egg?
Yeah.
What came first, using the word hoe in a rap song or slapping a girl in the ass and calling her a hoe?
Yeah.
They're both, you know.
There's a brilliant Dave Chappelle skit about how like he's trying to prove that rap wasn't the sole purpose of misogyny.
Yeah.
Like there were hoes way before, and I went through the BET archives and found this. Check it out. And it's Sammy Davis Jr. during a Christmas special, but it's like Dave Chappelle, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's like there's this woman, two guys right next to him, and then Sammy Davis Jr. finishes singing, pop some champagne. And then I sprinkle this champagne on you, bitch. And it's just Sammy Davis Jr. just sprinkling champagne on this woman that's just like sitting right there. Pours it all.
Why can't it be like the good old days when the misogyny and the promiscuousness was out of the recording studio?
Exactly.
Yeah. So right, Frank Sinatra, I'm sure, you know, he slept around and did bad things. So
yeah. Most definitely. Frank Sinatra.
I guess maybe, but it's like, I don't think it helps. Like, I don't think hip hop culture helps with that, but I think that it's not the cause. Like, there's a huge, like, people, there's this huge complex web of things happening, and people like to boil it down to just one easy person to blame. Especially white people just don't get it. Like, white people do not get black people. They don't get they don't understand the culture at all. They try to understand it through their lens, and that's where the problem arises.
Yeah. That's where the problem arises for a lot of things. Yeah. People try and like gauge or like understand things through their frame or like you said, their understanding their lens.
People don't get it. It's like, why don't you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps? It's like, dude, you got to have boots first. You know?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Like people don't get it. Like it's ridiculous. I remember my dad's friend, he's very well off and he's black. And he's like, people will say to him at dinner parties, well, if you can pick yourself up, what about these people? Cause he didn't start. He's like, well, first off, I have parents, two parents. All right. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal. They both loved me. They both supported me, you know, like they both encouraged education. I had all those things going. Those things alone, you know, is a huge advantage over a large amount of the black population. Yeah. It's like you look at people in the hood, whatever you want to call it. Like a lot of them are single family, single parent homes, you know? And like that's a much more difficult situation to live under than, you know, it's like, and like people don't take in that disadvantage. They're like, oh, you're both black. Why can't you do what they do? It's like, you're just trying to be racist pretty much. You're just trying to justify your racism.
It's just coded and like hidden behind these other things.
And concern. Like, well, I just want them to help themselves. It's like, no, you don't. You want to be racist and like say bad things when you think that the valet scuffed your car.
That's totally true. And like the thing about like the reason why rap is the way rap is because we have stories, and sometimes these stories kind of like involve these things,
involve a lot of hoes.
Aside from the joke, they do involve a lot of hoes.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, maybe you could probably poke a hole in what I'm saying by like you're just framing it in a way where like it's like when you take Gucci Mane lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, okay, when Gucci raps about scissor slapping a hoe and stacking millions, he's just acting against the systematic failure that was set against him.
Yeah, exactly.
So now he's being really bombastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not really a good way to frame it, but that's one way of looking through it.
It's true though. It's like, you can't. It's not the culprit.
Yeah.
It's just a symptom. And I mean, it does perpetuate that negative stuff to an extent, you know, like if you got kids listening to that, they're like, oh, this is a cool thing to do. But it's like, it's not just cut and dried, like, oh, get rid of rap and you get rid of the, no one's going to be sipping on codeine syrup anymore. Not exactly true.
No, not exactly. Not exactly true at all. And like, there's like, it's like what Tupac said one time, like when they asked him about the N word and they're like, why do you use it in rap a lot or whatever? And then he's like, sometimes our stories involve the word nigga. Just that easy. Like sometimes the black experience, you know, through some people involves these things. And that's why that's like when you take like where Nas came from, Some people that know me are like laughing because I'm referencing Nas. Mm. Nas, because I don't like Nas.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, when you take what Nas rapped about, like living in, where do you live from? Bed-Stuy? I forget where he came from. Mm. I know Mos Def came from Bed-Stuy. But, yeah. Like, you know, when you hear, like, these rappers talking about, like, coming from the hood or, like, this and that, or, like, yeah. They're rapping about the trap or, like, they're rapping about, like, these things, there's a deeper thing there. And I know it's like hidden behind trap beats and top 40 radio and like the lives that they live.
Yeah.
But that's totally like it. One, like I've said this before, but once you produce something, it becomes an orphan. Like your character very, very minimally affects like what you said in that track.
It's true.
Like, so every hip hop artist honestly has a valuable point to put throughout the whole collective like experience. And sometimes it involves like you actively bragging about like, unfortunately it involves sometimes you actively bragging about killing, even if you've never killed before.
Mm-hmm.
One thing is the culture of masculinity.
Yeah.
That's one thing. That's why a lot of like, you know, kids that aren't black adopt rap music as their like thing.
Because it makes me feel like a man.
Exactly. And like the views on manhood or masculinity are very, very limited altogether. And then two, you know, not, you know, like you got to be tough if you're going to be living where you're living.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're living in Detroit, you know.
Yeah.
You have to put up a front. It's like, it's plumage.
Can't be writing poetry.
Yeah. It's like, it's like animals like that make themselves bigger or blowfish, you know?
Check out that nigga's plumage. God damn.
Like if you look, it, like that's why, you know, there's a walk to it. That's why there's a clothing style to it. That's why there's everything. Like honestly and truly, it's defenses.
Yeah.
Some of it's defenses. Other times, if you make it out, or like if you have different like attitudes throughout like to the culture in general, you know. But that's what's it. And you can't judge like an individual by their rap lyrics too,
because
at the end of the day, what I said goes into it, and also sometimes it's just silly.
That's true.
Yeah, sometimes it's just silly.
All right, so you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
All right.
Let's wrap it up.
So you got that show coming up tonight.
Tonight. Probably won't be, like, you know, we won't get it out tonight.
Well, the episode will be up tonight. But
out tonight, yeah, but, you know. But, yeah, I got a show tonight.
Sell it. Selling it hard.
Yeah. Got a show tonight at Le Creperie in Hollywood. Dennis Howe is hosting. Rob Elliott, great guy. I think I've seen him once, and he made me crack up that one
time.
He's
a funny dude.
He's a really funny dude.
Yeah.
Greg Tavon, he's usually at Moonshine. CJ Staples, myself, we're all going to be there. It's going to be a great show. 10 minutes each.
Sweet.
All right? So you get to see me do some long form. And honestly, who doesn't like crepes? Thin
terrorists,
pancakes.
Terrorists don't like crepes.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and the people can find you on...
You can find me, Black Dottedus, at Instagram, and Ratchet_Reggie on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter, Mike Marinoff, at Mike Marinoff, and on Facebook, facebook.com/ Mike Marinoff Comedy. And make sure to listen to Woo Bro, because I was a guest last week.
Sweet. This
episode should be coming out tomorrow. That is Wednesday. So hear me get in the middle of Xander and Neri arguing. It was a fun time. So,
and hit us up on the Facebook.
Yeah, on the Facebook, on the Twitter,
the
Black
Twitter.
And Jew Pod.
We're there. We're accessible.
Yeah, do it. Ask us questions.
You got something to say? You got something to add? I know you guys only listen,
mm-hmm.
but part of, you know, discussing is listening. So if you got something to say, we will address it next episode.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
So until next time, guys.
Bye.